Southwark Street.
Southwark Street, that's... So it's between Blackfriars Road and Borough High Street. Runs parallel with the Thames.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one down from, like, the Tate Modern, that which is more the little narrow street. So we've got Blackfriars Bridge, Southwark Bridge, London Bridge. Three bridges, and it runs between the two, but not on the bank side, obviously.
Okay.
But you can't see the Thames from here, which, you know, why not? It's nice just to talk about a road that gets forgotten.
Okay.
It leads to so much. There's so much around it, yet everyone forgets what's on it. So I thought, why not?
Let's so we're starting at Blackfriars Bridge, then?
We're starting at Blackfriars Road, the junction of Southwark Street.
Right.
Yeah, you got me there? You there now?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm with you all the way.
Okay. What we'll do, we're on the right-hand side of the carriageway.
Yeah.
And we'll immediately, what you'll notice is a big iron railway bridge. And that's the Thames Link Bridge. It is like the south to north railway line, as people know as Thames Link. They keep changing the franchises. So, look, you know, you can see the actual, you know, you see the bridge. When you come over the Blackfriars Bridge itself, you see the railway bridge, but you also see the post coming out the water of where a bridge was before, but not there no more. I quite like that.
Yeah.
I think we need some sort of swinging thing where we can jump to each pillar.
Now, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Really good fun. You know what I mean? No, there is. Or a bosun's chair.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, I mean, why not? You know, having people bosun's chair across the Thames. People pay good money when you see what they pay in those rickshaws. I mean, they'll pay thousands just across like that. Anyway, under that bridge on the right hand side, you've got the most peculiar piece of modern art. Ian Davenport, a local chap, enamel panels, painted lines that were allowed to just basically just fall down the enamel panels, and he allowed gravity to take over. It tells you on this sign next to it. And to be honest with you, in my own humble opinion, this is a piece of contemporary art. I think any good school could have done this for a probably 1% of the price.
Right.
It is purely and simply some enamelled panels. I mean, you know, steel panels. And what's amazing is the plaque next to it, they talk about how it was baked in a furnace at 850 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we could have, guess what, got a bit of wallpaper, got some kids to paint some stripes, we could have, in watercolour. They would have merged exactly like the lines on his piece of artwork, and then we could have covered them in acrylic, and guess what, those children would have been really proud of what they've done. Now, don't get me wrong, look, some of these artists, they see things that I don't see. These are some stripes and paint that just drip down. I don't know what else you can see. But
he's a good salesman, that's what it is. Tracy Emin said that nowadays art is all about business. And this bloke sold himself. He sold his concept. That's what he's done. He sold his concept to the local.
Well, there's an empty wall opposite. I think we should give the kids an opportunity.
Yeah.
Really, local school kids in Southwark, if Southwark Council are listening, an opportunity to produce something that would probably be more inspiring. It does liven the wall up, don't get me wrong. It's nice to see a bridge underneath a bridge lit up.
Yeah. You know, I agree.
You know, and that side of it, I won't knock, and I'm, you know, because there's one further down the road we'll come to, which actually I do like. You know, I mean, there's
that. Oh, hold up. Yeah. John the Cabbie likes modern art.
A piece of it.
Hold the front page of the LondonDailyNews.com.
No, but this is, I mean, look.
Blood like Kennedy.
It's 48 panels, it is like. I mean, it's different. I mean, what's impressive about it, I suppose, is the fact that someone put it up there.
Yeah.
That's the best bit for me. But it's worth a look, because there are lots of people out there like contemporary art. And as we know, around the corner, there's a big old power station that has a lot of it in there, but we're not going there. We are staying on Southwark Street.
All right, so let's get out from under the bridge there, John.
So we're underneath, we're away from the bridge.
Right.
And what happens is now we'll come to, there's some little junctions there are here. Then we come to another junction. And what we'll see now is some old buildings. And then I just come to this little panel, and it says to you, what you'll notice is, it says it above the door, Kirk Lady Testing Works. Lady Testing Work. And then there's a little plaque next to this building now, which is offices, and there's a little museum here in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, in David Kirk Lady, born 1820, 1897, he was a Scotsman, helped form the Institute of Engineering in Scotland, and he set up a load testing machine to basically test construction materials, see if they were powerful enough, I mean, basically, to put up with loads that would be placed upon them. And there's a 48-foot-long machine in this building.
Yeah.
And they're able to apply a load of up to over 300 tons. Now, that's still in the building. Now, what's important here is, you'll just see it, this big stone, sort of like plaque, says Kirk Lady Testing Centre, it is like. And lovely, lovely old Victorian building. tells you on the blue front door, you've got to go around the back in Princes Street. As you walk further up, what you'll see on the right is a lovely darker brick building and a beautiful curve. Beautiful, I mean, it's lovely when you see bricks, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they you know, when something like a bay window, but this is curved, it's very narrow, and they look like flats, they do. So someone must have a wonderful bathroom or odd-shaped kitchens on the end of these buildings. But the trick here is now, on the left-hand side of the road, someone's knocked the building down. And you just get a wonderful view of Bankside Power Station, i.e. Tate Modern. You just get a beautiful view of it. So as you're on either of those buildings, if you just look across, you'll just see a beautiful shot of the cooling tower, the chimney stack, effectively. And, you know, and you can imagine in a bygone era that chugging out like lots and lots of smoke, you know. And it wouldn't have been that long ago, actually, 30, 40 years ago. Probably 50 years ago. It's been decommissioned now.
That was a sugar factory, wasn't it?
What's that?
The Tate Modern, was it a sugar factory?
Power station.
Power station.
Bankside Power Station.
But it wasn't, so where's the Tate bit come from? Oh, they
No, just they got the Tate, I think they must have a sponsorship there, didn't they? Tate Modern, Tate Britain. I mean, I can only presume it's probably something to do with, I mean, Tate, in the sense, I mean, have they bequeathed artwork to the name? I don't know on that.
Right.
But you'll get a brilliant, brilliant look, and you just see the tower. There's nothing else. You can't see anything else in the backdrop, especially if you buy the testing machine. So you haven't got any of the big buildings in the city interfering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite odd, because you're seeing a different odd skyline. And it's a gap in the road of where we've had an ugly building knocked down. And then we come to the new stuff. And there is some fantastic new buildings coming up here. Again, I've slated some glass buildings in the past, but when you look at the ugly buildings that were down in Southwark Street, my God, you could put a box of cornflakes up, it would look good.
Yeah.
This Bluefin building does look good. Now, the problem with Southwark Street is whoever's developed the pavements, they don't understand what a straight line is. They've gone for this, let's jut stuff out and make it all awkward for the car drivers. You know,
why are they doing that, John?
Well, because I just think, you know...
No other country in the world does that.
Well, they think it's trendy. They think it's like, people think, oh, we'll slow the traffic down, and then they forget, then we'll put a cycle lane in, and it's all odd-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget, then, if you've got a guide dog and you're walking along, or you're partially sighted, one minute you're on pavement, next minute you're at a curb. You know, let's be honest, what we really need is a straight road, is a straight curb,
yeah,
with a straight bit of pavement. Now, if they want to do a land grab, you know, and nick a bit of road, well, then do it.
Yeah.
Don't jut bits out and then indent bits in and not even give you a parking bay. If they're putting a bay in, which some councils are doing now, where they slope the curb, where you have a sort of a merger between the road, but it's like a loading bay. They're doing that in some places where it works quite well. Mm. I wouldn't say perfectly, but it's better than what they've done here. They've got that bit wrong with Southwark Street. It looks ugly. They've built some of the road up, some of the narrow roads on the sidewalks. They've built up with the brick pump to make them level with the pavement. What it does do, it's you've got a road and then people just walk straight out into the road. Now, mm-hmm. The idea is they're putting the responsibility on the driver to slow down. You see, that's the idea, is to make drivers more responsible. It probably does work, but when people have got their iPods on, they don't hear cars.
Yeah.
You see.
And it just looks like, I mean, I always think that's what a zebra crossing's there for, isn't it?
You know, but no, it's right. But you know, they I mean,
I've never understood the way that we get main roads in London, and they do anything to slow the traffic down. You can't go more than 12 miles an hour in London most of the time, anyway. So no, doesn't need slowing down.
No, I mean, it's slow enough. I mean, if anything, I'd say it needs speeding up a bit. You know, and we might have better air quality. But this bit here, well, like I said, we're not going to go off. There's only a couple of little roads I'm going to go out the side, because I want to just stick on Southwark Street, because it is. It's odd what's happening here.
Right.
We've got a hotel, Holiday Inn Express. That would never have been seen 10 years ago, a hotel. You know, in this part of London. It just didn't happen.
Mm.
You know, people didn't want to stay there. So the area is changing. And the Bluefin building, I think it looks vacant at the moment. I mean, you know, we have got a problem, obviously, with the economy slowing. We haven't got tenants rushing to come into the buildings. But there's massive investment going to this area. They're called Bankside. Obviously, it's obviously Bankside, because it's by a bank,
yeah.
Bankside by the Thames. But it's also, that's the little district here, what it's named as. And you know, it's different. The Bluefin building, because we're on the other carriage road, we're looking at it. We've got some shops, we've got some restaurants beginning to open up. There's a tortilla one coming, a Mexican one. There's a little shop called Joy in the basement, the ground level of this building. You see that the openness of this building. I mean, it is glass, it is different. I don't mind it, like I said, because of what was there. Then we get a small, as we walk further down South Street, what we'll notice is there's a gap between this building and a building called Bankside. And you'll just notice some better street lighting, some seats where people can sit out. And there is a reverse of these with some bars and cafes on the other side, backing on straight to Tate Modern. So visitors to the gallery have got opportunities like to have a drink, have something to eat. So we're seeing the area raise up, we are. Still lots of locals, though, living in the side streets around here. Lots of people. Because it's a mix. It's a mix between the city and not the city, this part of London. It is just a odd place.
Mm.
That's what I said. It's a street that its only purpose sometimes is felt to take you from Blackfriars Road to the borough. It feels like nothing really happens there. But as you walk along it, you'll see that actually things are starting to happen now. On our right-hand side, we come up to it. We've gone past where we are now. We're at the junction with Great Suffolk Street, Sumner. We see the other glass building on the on the left-hand side. On our right-hand side, I've lost my way there just a minute. Sorry about that. Where are we? We'll come up to some office blocks, we're going to see. And then don't look particularly great. You know, they like really, really are 1960s looking buildings. Look a bit ugly. Not my cup of tea. And again, let's hope they get developed soon. I mean, you'll see what's happening on the left-hand side. So we need some of these, the 60s looking building need redeveloping. Now, as we move along a bit further, what we'll come to is we get to like Southwark Bridge Road, an odd junction here, in the sense that if we go left, we got probably one of the most useless. This is the most underused and pointless bridge in London. It only leads you to upper and lower Thames Street. It doesn't actually. You can't get into the city. They've blocked off Queen Street. So if you were to turn,
so left, if you was to go over Southwark Bridge,
you can only turn left or right. You can't actually go forward. Years ago, you could. They blocked it off due to the Ring of Steel, which is rather odd because what it does that it makes a bridge the most underused. It's quiet all the time. This bridge. I mean, and I know we've zoomed off the walk, but we need to mention that. I mean, it's you know, considering they got gates on every other entrance, why they couldn't leave a security gate there, I don't know. You know, they've got them elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've got enough police officers in the square mile. They could have kept the gate there open, because you used to go Southwark Bridge, Queen Street, into King Street, Guildhall, straight line. Now it's a bridge, really. You could actually cut that bridge off, float it down the Thames, put it somewhere useful. You know, you really could, because it serves no purpose, really, here. Very, you know... It's a pointless bridge in a sense. The only people that use it really, the odd cab drivers, when you're coming along Lower Thames Street, you chuck a left in Southwark Bridge to get your right Southwark Street to get on to Stamford to go to Waterloo.
Right.
So it really is a very, very quiet bridge. And even the views from it they're a bit odd. So it's worth mentioning that. Now, building on the corner of Southwark Bridge Road and Southwark Street is worth a look, because it's got a wonderful door number. 59 and a half.
Hang about.
Yeah.
59 and a half.
Yeah. It's London Council's, this building. It's got this lovely mauve, you know, like typical sort of like Quango body style stripe, you know, and it's got that sign everywhere, 59 and a half. And it is odd to see that 59 and a half. And you think, so what's all that about? Why is that happening? Can't work out exactly why, but.
Is it next door to number 59?
Well, I presume it is, but I don't know where, you know, like, have they got 66 now? They haven't. No, but it's just odd. Now, on the corner of Southwark Bridge Road and Southwark Southwark Street, what you notice is, when you look up, two cherubs in a circle, and then it looks like a boy, an actual life boy, floating. It looks like a Dalek, actually, when you get close. It actually looks like a Doctor Who and a Dalek. It does look like a Dalek, I'm sorry. But, you know, like a life boy bobbing in the sea, and there's these two cherubs. And then, immediately, you know, it's a lovely, typical piece of Victorian adorned artwork that goes on the building. But the minute you look down, there's this indented window, and because it's one of those public buildings where they don't want some down and out sleeping, they put metal spikes. They've actually put metal spikes on so someone can't sit on that ledge and stay warm. Now, I think it's sad that anyone can end up on the street. I think it's sad that maybe we don't help them enough. But I think it's even sadder that someone then puts a spike on a window ledge to stop someone sitting there or just trying to get in from the rain.
Mm.
And that's a London Council building. Because I tell you what's odd, further down the road, the private buildings haven't done that. They haven't put shutters down. And there were people sleeping in the doorways. You know, it still happens in London. Hasn't gone away. There is poverty out there. There is mental illness out there.
Yeah. Care in the community means people sleeping rough in London. Yeah, that's what it means.
People sleeping, and you know, it's the fact that it's an indictment on society, really. I think, in the sense that, you know, someone's actually bothered to put that. Now, it does happen. I mean, I've seen the nets where people do for pigeons, and they do that because they don't want them doing their droppings everywhere. Mm-hmm. But these are specifically there to stop someone literally sitting there.
Mm.
And I found that quite sad myself. You know, if they just put a shutter down or something there, or boarded it off and painted it over, you wouldn't notice it then. But don't put spikes. Don't make it look so obvious that you, well, let's put it bluntly, detest people who are sleeping on the street. Yet here you are, London Council's doing that. You know, personally, myself, should be ashamed of themselves. That's only my personal opinion and view, that is. Not the BBC, he's meant to make that clear. Anyway, we're at that junction, so let's walk over. And this really is odd, to say the least. You start seeing some lights on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And we also start to see a bridge in the distance, another railway bridge, because it's a very, very busy part of the world, like commuter belt, obviously, with Cannon Street, Blackfriars, London Bridge all being close by, and the amount of bridges that exist in the area. But then, before we get to the bridge, on our right, the chocolate factory. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
What a lovely little theatre, isn't it? And it's got the Minerva in it, or the mm-hmm. Minerva, it is like.
Minerva, yeah.
Yeah, Theatre Caf. But it looks like it's been taken over by the chocolate factory, and there's a restaurant here. And there's also a cafe, and it's a theatre as well. Now, as I understand, and if anyone wants to correct me, Cameron McIntosh, I mean, has put his hand in his pocket here and helped this theatre out. You know, so here we have someone that puts on lots of big productions mm-hmm. in the West End, and here he is helping Fringe Theatre then on the edge of theatre land and in South London. It's important. That we get theatre in the, because we've got around the corner in Southwark Bridge Road, we have another theatre. But it's just nice to see that someone's actually, Minerva Theatre and Caff, and it is, you just see it, the Chocolate Factory. And what's interesting, when you see the signs, there's a play on at the moment, let me get that out of the way, they're playing our song. And that's running from the July 25th to September the 28th this year.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair McGowan and Connie Fisher's in it. So that's Connie Fisher from the BBC TV programme who got in The Sound of Music, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
even
right.
Even I know that, and I don't watch much telly.
And Alistair McGowan, the man who took over from Julian Clary in Cabaret, and then it closed. But that's because he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a load of little theatres around this area.
Yeah, oddly enough, in O'Meara Street, which is just round the corner, I picked up... some people who are doing a photo shoot today, because there's a big photographic gallery or a big mm-hmm. open space where people can do photo shoots. There's also a gallery in this building. Now, this building it's in looks rugged, looks dirty. It's got some... When you see the sign Chocolate Factory, you'll see a bit of wrought iron and a gate that's got a padlock on.
Yeah.
Now, when you walk along here, just try and find this little creature on the wall. It's wonderful. You'll see a big window with a curved arch, and then you'll see a smaller window with a curved arch, and where the two arches meet, so in between the big window and the little window, there's a little dragon popping his head. I thought it was a lion. So it's a little dragon popping his head out, like his little wings are back, and he's just staring at you.
Do you know, that's what I love about old buildings. You see little curiosities.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's all glass and straight lines, and there's no surprises about these new buildings.
No, this is what makes this part of London, you see. Like, this is old Victorian London.
Yeah.
And you see the dirt on the lime green, on that pale, pale green you do, with the white basically curved to the window, the actual windows itself, and then you'll see, you know, like, what they call it? Cornipus, isn't it? Where you get that looks like the fruit and that stuff.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Which is, you know, tends to be usual for that era, it does. But the fact this little dragon just pops his head out, and I thought it was a lion's head, and look at him, he's got his little wings behind him. Ever so cute, he looks. If you can find that, you know, it's something.
Is that before the railway bridge?
It's before the railway bridge. It's actually at the chocolate factory.
Oh, right,
on the building.
Right.
Like, and what you'll see then is like it looks dirty. You can see there's a lot of traffic moving down there because there's a, you know, a few open spaces where building work's been going on.
Yeah.
And you can also see the diesel particles just attached to the building. But gives it a bit of an edge. I mean, it looks nice to have a clean building, but it's nice to have one with a bit of dirt on it.
No, of course it is, yeah.
It's real.
A bit of London dirt.
Yeah, a bit of carbon, isn't it? What's wrong with that? I mean, it's everywhere, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it's what we're made of, John. We're carbon units.
Yeah.
Right, are we going under the bridge now?
No, so we're walking on anyway. We're going to go past O'Meara Street, and what we're going to come to now is a junction with Red Cross Way. And before we get to the bridge in Red Cross Way, you'll see this massive panel with just dots on. It's a... stainless steel looking panel
mm-hmm.
with a load of multicoloured lights. And then there's a junction called Red Cross Way.
Right.
As you go over the junction, there's another panel with loads of multicoloured lights. And they're just there. And I couldn't find, for the life of me, a label to tell me who had done this bit. Now, I'm just hoping it's not the other chap, because I did like this. No, if it is, I hope it is your work, Mr. Davenport.
Uh-huh.
I quite like this one. And the reason why I liked it was the railway bridge goes across Southwark Street at an angle.
Yeah.
At an odd angle, about 45 degree. And if you stand at the edge of this first panel, and this is what I did, where these lights are, get yourself under the bridge, so you're seeing the bridge as a straight line,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got at 90 degrees, the struts going across the railway bridge. The first perspective you see is, it's odd, you're seeing a road going at 45 degree, you've got uh-huh. a railway bridge you're looking at going in a dead straight line, and then you've got the 90 degree struts going across from the bridge. Then in the corner of your eye, you can see these glowing lights, and this was, you know, it's about perspective, this shot is. Now, anyone that's the photographs will understand what I'm on about. And then just look to your right and look at the panels, and you see the lights go into a focal point in the distance. They disappear, and they disappear into the distance. And then all of a sudden, they just all went mauve. And I don't know why they just all go mauve. So I ended up standing there for 20 minutes, waiting for them to go mauve again.
Mel, I think he's on a trip. I think he's on a trip. Right, so let's see if we can hold him down. He's going to start flying in a minute. I tell Alan I'm going to go and see that. And yeah. know exactly where this is.
Yeah, this is wonderful. It really is. It's like, and it livens this old bit of London up. Red Cross Way. I mean, and here's the best bit. Turn right and immediately into Red Cross Way. Got a rail track sign. This is Bridge 36 XTD.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And you know, because if they have a bridge strike, you've got to be able to name it.
Yeah.
See, you know, just in case. And it's a warning. This is Bridge 36 XTD. And it still says rail track. So I presume the code in Bridge 36 XTD still stands. Now, bang opposite, on the other side of the road, before the bridge, is a real wonderful old building. In need of a bit of attention. Up for sale. And it's got a bit of scaffolding holding parts of it together. It's first and second floor. And it's quite tiered, it is, like, just a really old, dilapidated, got the old double doors in the middle. Looked like, you know, you'd open them up and then someone would get the old block and tackle out and then pull some stuff upstairs, it would.
Uh-huh.
But that's up for sale. Hopefully someone's going to get hold of this building, take it back to its former glory. I really do. And we are going to go into, you know, the Borough Market next week, because the treasures that are hidden around the back here are just immense. But that's a taster of what's to come. But then, what gets even better about this walk now, as you go under the bridge,
yeah.
what happens is, to your left, you see a building, and it's curved, and it's on your left-hand side, and it looks like an upended wedding cake. It's tiered, and it goes outwards. You see these tall columns, sky blue colours, and then you see a bit jut out, it appears to, and another, and it's the Hop Exchange. Absolutely just, oh, get yourself to the bus stop by the Abbey National, sorry, Santander, and look across. And look at this amazing old Victorian building. Look at the wrought iron gates. And then look above the wrought iron gates and you'll see two male heads. And then in the middle of the main gate, you'll see a female's face, you will. And you see, you know, like then it looks like Neptune or something, it does. And you see this sort of like female's face. And then there's a little fresco going on. I couldn't work out what was actually going on up there. Then above it, a golden eagle. Was absolute, and I've had a drink in that area, I've walked around that area, and I've never noticed that eagle before. So, you know, it's like,
maybe he's just landed.
The eagle has landed. but it really is an amazing building, and it does have that effect. And funny enough, tonight I bumped into a good old school chum of mine, Peter Keneally, there tonight, and he was saying, like, what are you looking at? I said, it looks like a wedding cake, and he agreed with me. So that's why I said it. I said, look at it, the way it's curved, it was quite funny. You know, I mean, he's a cab driver, you know, just by pure self. Then he bumps into someone he knows. And then we end up talking about Suffolk and London and life.
Because there's another theatre around there, the Union Theatre.
Yeah, that's in Southwark Bridge Road.
Yeah,
that's another one. So that's the south part of Southwark Bridge Road, yeah. Near the Shell Garage. Yeah.
That's a 50-seater, that one.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's really, you know, up front, and you, mm-hmm. you can see when someone's fluffed their lines there.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to flush the toilet during performances.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because everybody can hear it.
Really?
Yeah, oh, big no. sign that said, do not flush toilet during performance. Or maybe it's the plumbing's not working very well. So here we are, so we're at the wedding cake now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting building to look at. I mean, he's, there's a couple of bars there, Davies Wine Vaults, Hop Cellars and that. And then on right on the corner of Stoney Street, which leads you into the Borough Market, we have the Southwark Tavern, a public house. And then there's a little slipway to the right that will, you can just walk down, beautiful little twee, little narrow little street. It's called, it's still actually part of the Borough High Street, it is. And what that does is just, you know, you can walk through and it will take you back to the Borough High Street. And I'm not going to say what's at the other end because there's a wonderful treasure there that we need to talk about next week. We do.
Right, so we're doing Borough Market next week.
We're going Borough High Street right through the Borough Market, and then next week we're going to come out back on Red Cross Way.
Right.
Because this is next week, this is, we're going to get lost effectively. And that's the best way to do the Borough Market is, you know, I mean, I think we'll do a start and a finish point. And just say, have a good walk round. I will walk for it, because you can do whatever you want here.
Yeah.
Because you won't...
One of the treasures of London Borough Market, isn't it?
The whole area is. The fact you've got a cathedral, a marketplace, a museum, a wine museum, great pubs, old Victorian houses, modern estates, Financial Times just nearby. Everything's there. Globe Theatre, the Globe. Then we got the original foundations of the Globe that were found. Remember Sam Wanamaker? You know, and it's so much round the back here. But this is just one street that gets forgotten about because it is just there. And in a weird way, it's changing. The area is changing. It's developing. Businesses coming in. Big businesses coming. But what seems to be happening is we don't seem to be seeing what we see elsewhere where other people are getting pushed out. The locals are still there in the borough because it is mainly, there's not masses of council estates here. They're Peabody Trust stuff. That ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
That, you see, and that's good news.
There's lovely, those Peabody places.
Yeah, they are, and they're not going anywhere. That's brilliant about those, you know, when you think of what that chap did, Peabody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these. I mean, we need more of them, you know. Wouldn't it be nice to have the Branson estate, the Philip Green estate?
Yeah.
And I mean this in an act of complete
honesty. Yeah, I agree
really
with
think
you.
These, you know, these some of our billionaires, and they are good charitable people, these people. They do it on the QT.
Yeah.
But they've got to look back to the 19th century, and look at what they did then.
Yeah.
They left their mark.
Yeah.
I don't mean just for advertising purposes. They left their mark for the future and beyond, and they done good.
I agree with you 100%. So, John, if people want to hear this again, where do they go?
We go to, we'll have a script up. We will in a couple of days' time on the London Daily News website.
Right.
I Talk the Walk. And then we go to freelondonevents.co.uk.
Yeah.
And we'll have a Google map up on this. We'll have some pictures up on it. And we'll have a podcast. And we'll have that jingle.
You can't have any better than that, John. Are you ready to sing?
I am.
Okay. For all you cab drivers out there, here we go.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie. BBC 94.9.